Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's May 13th, 2021. I hope May 13th, 2021 finds you all in good health and happy as spring hits Maine, where I am. Okay, looking good out there today. It's looking good in here, too. We have an old friend with us today, Kathy Metcalf, who is the Executive Director for Education of the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. And the Congressional Medal of Honor Society presents programs to school as part of what they do, all about SEL, okay, for resilience and courage and all that thing. And it's a wonderful organization. And Kathy's going to tell us all about it today and the newest programs they have, et cetera. It's at CMOHS, like Congressional Medal of Honor Society, CMOHS.org. Okay, if you want to check it out. And please, while you're playing with your computer, go to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That is our home website. We are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We publish a wonderful magazine that's online on site over at ace-ed.org. That's called Equity and Access. This podcast and every podcast we do is archived over there. You're welcome to go over. It's under a podcast icon. We have all kinds of great information over there. We're all about equity, access, diversity, inclusion, all that sort of things. Okay, for pre-K-12 educators, everything we do is free. Again, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on my old friend Kathy Metcalf. Hello, Kathy. Larry's here.
Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
I'm fine, my friend, out in California, in Orange, California. I assume the weather's beautiful there?
Well, you know, we have what's called May Gray, so it will be beautiful in another couple of hours, but right now we have this onshore morning marine layer that keeps things a little cool and makes for absolutely exquisite afternoons, so we're headed that way, but it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you here. It really is. It's been too darn long, okay? And I'm just glad you're back here. And you work with a wonderful organization. You've been there a while. Kath, tell everybody, I just interesting about your background before we just begin. I'm just curious.
Certainly. My background is as a teacher. I've spent over 30 years teaching at California State University Fullerton in their English department. Taught all levels of writing and a variety of literature classes for them after having started at some local community colleges. And so I had a wonderful career with them. And then I had the opportunity to take this job with the Medal of Honor, first the Foundation, now the Society. And it's a real privilege to do this because I'm a little bit of a ringer in the job in that my father was a Medal of Honor recipient, and so
I knew that. Wait a minute. Whoa. I don't think I knew that.
Really? I keep it a little bit of a secret because it is the program of the whole society. It's not at all about just my dad, but the fact that I've known these Medal of Honor recipients my entire life. It truly is their legacy, and it is obviously my legacy as well for that reason. So it is an honor and a privilege to do this job.
And I bet it is even more so. And congrats to your dad. Is he still with us or long gone or what's
the
situation?
No, he actually passed away. Yeah, he passed away in 2014. I wouldn't have been able to take this job before that because it would have been a conflict of interest, of course. But he was the last surviving World War II Medal of Honor recipient to have landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day.
Wow.
At this point, we were left with, he had quite a story. But he would tell you that it was not just his story, that it was story of everyone who was there. And now we're left with just one surviving Medal of Honor recipient from World War II, and that is Woody Williams. So the generation is, the parade is passing.
How old is Mr. Williams?
He is 97.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time left. That's young these days.
We are counting on it. He is a very young 97, and it is a privilege to know him. As part of this program, we do you know, we do webinar interviews with Medal of Honor recipients, and one of the things that we have archived on our website that you mentioned earlier, cmohs.org, includes those webinars, and we did one with Woody from the National World War II Museum on his 95th birthday.
Wow.
So that was a real treat. So that is archived on the website if anybody wants to hear Woody talk about what it was like growing up back when he grew up and then his experiences since then. I will tell you that an hour with someone who is 97 years old is not nearly enough time.
Oh, no, it is not. It is not. And the National World War II Museum, is that the one in New Orleans?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, that is the best museum. I just, wow. I mean, you go into that museum, and you go in one way, and you come out totally changed, at least in my experience there. It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
I would agree.
That's an unbelievable experience.
Yes, from people all the time who have been through that museum or who are in the process of going through the museum, and they feature quite a few medals of honor. They have Art Jackson's Medal of Honor in the Road to Tokyo exhibit. My dad's medal is in the Road to Berlin exhibit, and most of my dad's artifacts are in various parts of that museum. Now, the Medal of Honor Society also has its own museum on the Yorktown in Charleston, South Carolina. And that museum is focused specifically on Medal of Honor, the history of the Medal of Honor and the Medal of Honor recipients. And we're actually in the process of doing an upgrade to that museum right now. And we hope later this year that will be ready to reveal its new exhibits with some better inclusion of the more recent recipients from the War on Terror, because until 2010, there had not been a medal awarded except for based on revisions or you know, missed paperwork and upgrades and that kind of thing since the Vietnam War. So it's good to be including those who gave so much throughout our history and all the conflicts.
And that museum, again, is on the USS Yorktown, which is harbored in Charleston, right?
Yes, at Patriots Point in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, that is the basis for this program that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
It is the basis for the Medal of Honor Character Development Program, which, as you said, is an SEL program all about social-emotional learning, how to recognize one's values, how to embrace and encourage and build on those values so that at the moment when we are called upon to act on those values, we will do so without thinking about it.
Well, that brings up a very interesting point, okay? And I guess I have to speak to the generations. I don't know. Okay, obviously I don't know if any women won the Congressional Medal of Honor. I don't know.
That is an excellent question. There is one woman who has been awarded the Medal of Honor, and that was Dr. Mary Walker during the Civil War.
Wow.
At the time, at the time that she was awarded the Medal of Honor, the Medal of Honor was the only medal. It was established in 1863. We didn't have medals.
Yeah.
Well, now, one exception, the Purple Heart. We had the Purple Heart. And the Purple Heart is awarded for wounds received in action. So that is entirely, you have no control over that. You know, if you shoot yourself in the foot, you're not going to get a Purple Heart. But if someone else shoots you, you will get a Purple Heart.
Yeah, the bad guys. If the bad guys shoot you,
so
you get a Purple Heart.
Exactly. Yeah. That is not for actions that someone does. But the Medal of Honor was the first one. We recognized that President Lincoln recognized that we needed to recognize service provided to this country. And so he established the Medal of Honor.
Wow.
And so at the beginning, because it was the only one, it was distributed for all sorts of recognition as opposed to specifically what it was designated. Yes, and the medal was codified in 1917 and it was then established as specifically a combat medal against an enemy of the United States, and it is awarded for gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty at the risk of one's life. And so it is very much a combat medal, or at least has been, So there, to tie that back into your question about women, the United States until just a couple of years ago did not allow women in combat. And so the in 1917, with that codification, many medals were reviewed and many were revoked and taken away. I mean, there was an entire contingency, I believe from Maine, that got during the Civil War that was awarded medals for re-enlisting and sticking around to guard the White House for an extra couple of weeks. So that was certainly not in keeping with
They got the Congressional Medal of Honor. They got the Congressional Medal of Honor.
They did, but it was because it was the only medal. So it was then taken away from them. And one of the medals that was revoked, that was attempted to be revoked, was Dr. Mary Walker's, because her medal was a was for what she did. It involved absolute courage and dedication, commitment, the same values we talk about all the time. But it was for her service as a surgeon, actually to soldiers on both sides of the Civil War. And so they tried to take her medal away because it was not combat action specific. But being an absolute leader in women's rights, Mary Walker refused to give it back and wore it proudly until her death at the age of 81, I believe. And so,
and you know what? You know what else is so interesting? That she was a surgeon in those days.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is even more disgusting. I never heard of her until just now.
Well, we just did a new video on her. We actually have two videos. One is a very short one, 3 minutes. It's on the website. And then we have a longer one that's about 11 minutes, both about her life, both appropriate to use in classrooms. So the shorter one is obviously good for shorter attention spans. But I'd encourage our audience to take a look at those and learn more about Mary Walker, whose medal was reinstated by President Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
So it was much later, but they reinstated her medal. So to bring us up to date on women and the Medal of Honor, there is the possibility now that women, now that they are allowed to be in combat, would indeed be eligible for being awarded this combat medal. And while the Medal of Honor Society, the recipients therein, truly hope that there will be no need for any more Medals of Honor,
because
a Medal of Honor is generally the worst day of a person's life, they really, and oftentimes it results in that person's death, should a woman be in combat and do these kinds of things that are that meet the requirements of a Medal of Honor, it is very possible now that women will be awarded Medal of Honor. And in fact, recently we've had a couple of women who have been awarded Silver Stars, and the Silver Star is also very much a combat medal. So there is definitely a possibility that that could happen. So it was not as much that women were not allowed to be awarded the Medal of Honor, but rather that women were not allowed to be in a circumstance for which the Medal of Honor would be awarded.
How, it's all so interesting, and I'm going to learn more about this Dr. Mary Walker, because, I mean, what a great personage in American history, and, of course, I know nothing about her. And, it's really important. When was the education program? You guys honor all the Congressional Medal of Honor people. When did the education program start, or the SEL programs, however you want to answer that?
It was launched in 2009, and originally the research for it started in 2007, and originally it was specifically for middle and high school students only, and the parameters that the Medal of Honor Society gave to the teachers who developed the program were that they wanted it to teach the values of courage, commitment, integrity, sacrifice, citizenship, and patriotism, and they wanted the program to be accessible to middle and high school students, the lessons to be based on stories of Medal of Honor recipients to perpetuate their legacy, and so that people would know about sacrifices that are involved in that, and they wanted it to be accessible to all students, all educators throughout the United States. And, you know, technically it's available now worldwide, because originally we can back up a few generations of technology. When it was released, it was all on paper copies with videos on associated DVDs. Now, We have the whole program available on the internet, and anybody who's listening today could log on, I hope after the program, but even at this moment, and see all the lessons, view all the videos. We've added webinars as resources. So the program has really grown over the years. And in 2016, at the request of a number of elementary school teachers who had been sneaking into our secondary teacher training days, we added an elementary program. And yeah, the elementary program is not quite as it doesn't have as much emphasis on Medal of Honor stories, because I asked the recipients for permission to do this additional segment of the program, and their initial response was, well, you can't tell these stories to, you know, elementary K through 6.
It's scary.
That's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And we said, well, it's actually the teachers who have requested this, and their emphasis is on the values therein. And what they would like to do is, we had a group of two groups of volunteer teachers. The main group is out of Simi Valley, California, and another group out of Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And they all worked on lessons that now comprise the elementary Medal of Honor character development program.
And so what is the program actually like? Is it, I'll just throw out some examples. Is it like a series of videos, or is it written work, a combination of both? Is it literally visitations and Q&A from some Medal of Honor winners? How does it actually work? How long does it take? How do the teachers use it?
Well, we try to do all of that, and so the program.
I figured I'd throw it all out there and let you go. Yeah, pick and choose. Good.
Okay, so we focus. Let me focus first on the secondary program, since it is the one that features Medal of Honor stories. So there are written lessons, as you will see on the website. We also still have a printed version of that, which, if we have listeners who got the old 3.5-inch binder that weighed 8 pounds. It is now a spiral ring book that's down to about 186 pages and probably weighs 1.5 pounds. So it's much more user-friendly in that regard. And it's got all more lessons, because we have added lessons over the years. And in fact, we're working on a revision right now. We posted 4 new lessons on the website in the last 2 weeks here, and we will be adding additional lessons still. But those lessons are based on stories of Medal of Honor recipients and Citizen Honors awardees. Now, because I mentioned earlier that there had not been a medal awarded to a living recipient from any of the current wars until 2010, and so we wanted to add lessons. We revised the lessons so that they would include the people who have been awarded medals since then. But now I lost my train of thought on where I was going with that. But so anyway, the stories of Medal of Honor. Oh, I know what it was. Citizen Honors. So Citizen Honors, the recipients, before they started getting these new and younger recipients, they said, we need to recognize that the values that we exhibited in combat are not exclusive to combat, but rather these are values that people exhibit in everyday life. And that was certainly demonstrated in graphic and horrific situations on 9/11, and where citizens were giving their lives to save other citizens. And so the Medal of Honor Society started recognizing citizen honorees, and we have incorporated these awardees into the Medal of Honor character development program so that our students
Let me stop you for 1 second. When you say these citizen honorees, how were they honored? Did they win some sort of medal or something? I'm just trying to how you determined who they are.
Yes, the Medal of Honor Society itself, which is made up exclusively of Medal of Honor recipients, put out an invitation for communities across the country to submit local people for an award. And there were, originally 2 heroic awards and 1 service award, so awards for independent valor and then awards for a lifetime of service. And over the years, that has expanded to more awards that include an award for valor specifically for a young person, and an award under the age of 18, and an award for valor specific or for service specifically for a young person. the Standard Adult Awards for Valor and Lifetime of Service, and then they've also added a Community Service Award, which goes to an organization that provides service to its community. So we're up to, I think, 7 awards now per year, and the submissions are sent in. The we have an organization that narrows them down, and the recipients actually choose who wins the award for that year. Now, I point out that this indeed is a case where the person wins the award, not that they were in contest against each other, but rather they are submitted and then we pick, the society picks who deserves that award. Whereas Medals of Honor, and there are a limited number of awards per year, and then they are invited to an award ceremony and given a big, beautiful medal that they have and a certificate, and recognized in the news for what they have done.
Big deal.
And a Medal of Honor, on the other hand, of course, we use the word recipients rather than winners because, first of all, there's nobody wins at this, and there are unlimited numbers, so as long as it meets the requirements. And so that is an award that nobody necessarily sets out to win, whereas the Citizen Honors one, the people who submit the recommendation are indeed looking to have this person recognized. And it's a great way to give students real-life examples of heroes. You know, we live in a time, Larry, of so many superheroes. And while those of us who like to talk in the abstract and in metaphors and such can talk about our own superpowers and that we each have things that we're especially good at, what the kids see on TV so much and in the movies are indeed superpowers beyond what a human can have. And so they aren't realistic role models. And these Citizen Honors awardees are indeed regular people like you and me who get on the phone and talk to each other and maybe occasionally do a podcast, in my case occasionally do one. But they're people who go on about their daily lives and are doing things where they have the opportunity to do something for somebody else that is really important. And the kids can see that that happens in their communities. And we've got Citizen Honors awardees from all across the country. So those people are being incorporated into the lessons. And anyone who looks online will see that we have a variety of those. So it's a great program in that regard. Yeah, thank you. And in elementary, of course, the Citizen Honors awardees, there again, we have to be careful because some of the awardees, there are a few that were posthumous who were involved. For instance, the Sandy Hook teachers were all given that award one year. They made an exception and gave multiple awards to the Sandy Hook teachers who lost their lives in that incident.
Wow.
But, but there's also a story of a young man who was 8 at the time who found found a $20 bill in a parking lot and on his way into a restaurant for breakfast with his family, and he saw a soldier and he wrote a note to the soldier and said, in our family we like to pay it forward, this is for you.
Aww.
And this is a young man whose father was killed in action before the boy had a chance to know his dad. So, you know, that's that kind of inspiration to do something outside yourself for somebody else. We have recognition of a young man who rescued a bunch of people whose homes were flooding during the Houston hurricane, and he went out with a big water mattress and floated people to safety. I mean, it's just amazing the things.
It is amazing.
Yes. And we need to recognize those.
You know what's amazing? We do have to recognize them. And, you know, even to the Congressional Medal of Honor winners who may have enlisted, perhaps they were drafted, okay, et cetera, they probably didn't even realize they had this in them. But somehow it was built in, okay? And they reflect literally the best of us, you know? And you can take those values under that kind of situation, whatever the situation might be. I mean, you don't have a chance to plan it out per se. Okay, you don't know what the fates hold for you, but man, to be able to take that and articulate it's just it's incredible. I want to ask you, and I know you've been doing this since 2009. You're dealing with schools all over the country. Let me ask: A, is there a cost to this for the school?
Absolutely not. That was one of the parameters that the society set from the very beginning. They wanted this to be free and fully accessible to everyone so that no one would be restricted by their means or anything else from accessing this information.
Why am I not surprised? I had asked the question, okay, because people want to know that. Yeah.
And it's the same for all of it, the webinars and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what do you hear back from teachers? What's the feedback? I guess we could say what are the results, but you hear things from teachers. What do you hear?
We do hear a lot of things from teachers. And let me preface this by saying that you asked earlier, how does the program work? It is a set of a lot of lessons, 58 lessons. Most of them can be used more than once. You change out the Citizen Honors Awardee or the recipient.
You can use them
in multiple years. Some people use them only for special occasions, though, such as Memorial Day, which we're coming up on rapidly here.
That's right.
Memorial Day lessons. Veterans Day and such. But other people use them, especially with the elementary, we're finding that people will use them for a classroom management system so that these are the words that they use, or they may use the school's already predetermined values. So, for instance, we use the word integrity, but some schools use the word respect, which to us is part of integrity. So these words will fit in there, and teachers are finding that when they can say to their students, when students are perhaps not behaving as well as they could to each other, are you demonstrating integrity? You know? It's the teachers tell us that they see a difference in the way students treat each other, that they not only do they see that improvement in integrity, but they see, for instance, one of the things that does is that when students start showing better respect for each other, then students who would be less likely to participate in class suddenly have the courage to speak up in class, partly because they know that they're going to find themselves in a protected situation because other people are sharing those values and trying to operate in a way that citizens of a classroom operate, the way they treat each other. And so all these are rolled into that program. And, you know, we see some students who are inspired in the upper grades by Medal of Honor recipients occasionally to go into the service, but that is not the point of this program.
That's a great point to make, by the way. Yeah, it's not a recruitment vehicle. Thank you for saying that.
Yes, absolutely. No, not at all.
Nothing wrong with enlisting. Don't misunderstand that. I don't mean to come out the wrong way, but this is not a recruitment vehicle. Okay,
no,
enlisting
absolutely.
In the armed forces is very honorable. I want to say that.
Thank you for adding that, Larry, because it absolutely is, and I obviously would completely support that. But
of course.
If you just look at the fact, less than 1% of our population now joins and serves in the military. But that's the Medal of Honor recipient's point, is that service is not restricted to military service. And now more than ever, we need to take care of each other. And that's what these values are about. You know, citizenship is one of the values that they picked. And citizenship, what is patriotism? But citizenship at a national level. Citizenship at a local level, whether it's in your community or in your classroom or in your home, and then the demonstration of courage and commitment and integrity and your willingness to sacrifice yourself, whether it is sacrifice in the sense of your time, your opinion, your skills, your treasure, whatever it is, to do things for other people. And that's what this program is all about, is to encourage all of us to find the best in each of us and to see the best in each other and to encourage that we all act upon those values.
Yeah, it's probably, as I said before, I think a lot of it, I hope, is built in. But somehow there's a door locked on the inside. When you're in the situation, you got to be able to retrieve that stuff. And it's just, it's amazing. I you mentioned integrity. It's funny, I have a phone call this afternoon. I work with a company, a good friend of mine named Ian McCullough, who works with a company called Turnitin, okay? And they're all about integrity. And I don't want to mix the two too much, but I may introduce you to Ian. You guys might, like, enjoy meeting each other because it's all about integrity.
Yeah, you know, and we try to work with a lot of organizations across the country AUSA, and we work with museums across the country that have education programs, everything from Medal of Honor specifics, such as the Coolidge Heritage Center in Tennessee, to we work with the
you're going to say Vermont.
Museum. we've worked a little bit with them as well, and we work with Freedom's Foundation Valley Forge, with the World War One Museum, with the Reagan Library. We have a lot of partners, and we try very hard to make sure that we and they are working together to try to, across the board, make this country a place that is safe and nurturing for all our students.
And I want to ask you another question. By the way, what's that? You must know. I can't think of it. He's an old friend. The name of the education director at the Reagan Library. Do you know his name offhand?
Yes, Tony Penny.
Yeah, thank you.
Anthony Penny.
Yep. Okay. Couldn't think of it. I wanted to ask you something else, and I know this is happening. This is a big thing these days, and rightly so, with social justice and all that. We talked about women before, and I should have followed up on that. What about people of color? How are they involved in this? And that's a key thing in schools these days, you know, culturally responsive education, all that. Yeah, just talk about that from your point of view. Yeah, please.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that when I was talking about the Medal of Honor earlier and in Mary Walker's case, that the awarding of the Medal of Honor reflected the history of the country and what women were and were not allowed to do. And there is a little bit of that same parallel with people of color and the Medal of Honor.
I figured.
But I would point out that while we make mistakes in this country, we try to fix them. And over the last, now it's over the last 40 years, because since the 80s, there have been ongoing reviews of various groups and occasional cases of reviews of circumstances where perhaps someone was awarded a Medal of Honor that perhaps should have been a Medal of Honor. So the best example for me to use is that the 442nd, the Army 442nd, fought in Europe in World War II. It was a Japanese-American unit, and they were the most highly decorated unit in the Army, but they had no medals of honor. They had distinguished services, the service crosses galore, and so
they sure did. I know of that unit, and they fought so bravely.
Absolutely.
And remember, their families were in internment camps at the time. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, what an incredible example of commitment and citizenship and patriotism, even in the face of that harsh and absolutely wrong discrimination that their families were experiencing here. But we went back, and a number of those medals were upgraded to medals of honor, and were awarded. Fortunately, some of those veterans were still living at the time and received those medals. The last of them passed away just in the last few years here. That is happening across the board, and there have been a number of medals awarded to Black Americans. We're working on a lesson
Latino
right now.
And Latino. I know that.
Yes, and they have been included, actually. One of my dad's best friends was Rudy Hernandez, who was a Medal of Honor recipient from the Korean War, and they also worked together later in the Veterans Administration. And so over the years, as the military opened up more, the military opened up more, then you'll see more across the board. And if
there
is any type of case of evidence, and you know, the Jewish American community also suffered that kind of discrimination, and so there have been reviews of some medals there. But there is, you know, we're looking to make sure that these lessons include people of color. And a number of the Citizen Honors awardees happen to have gone to people of color, but it's not about the color. It's about what they did, and that's what's
exactly.
most important. Because
exactly.
All of us bleed red. All of us bleed
exactly.
red.
Exactly. And again, the reason I ask is because this is so much at the forefront of you know, social justice and racial conversations, et cetera. And we have to show everybody that there were deserving people who may have been passed over. in the past.
There absolutely were.
We're changing and all that sort of thing. You know, and you want to make it relevant to all these kids. It's just what you folks do is so important on so many reasons, going backwards, going forwards. I mean, preserving this legacy and just bringing out what's just great about everybody. Kath, we got to go. We'll do more. Okay. Next time we do a show, let's bring on one of the teachers using the program. And let's hear
from them. I would love to do that.
That would be a lot of fun.
I'll bring on new lessons for you, too. Thanks, Larry.
That would be super. Oh, Kathy, my pleasure. Okay. Enjoy, as the sun comes out today, your beautiful area, Orange, California. Okay, it will. Go have an orange. Go have an orange. That's why they named it. Go have an orange. Okay?
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, it's Kathy Metcalf. She's the Director of Education for the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. Just initialize that. CMOHS.org. Okay, and just go over there. It's really a great program. Okay, and it honors so many people. And she said it better than I could. All right. ACE-ED.org is where this podcast will be archived. Go over there, see what we do, join with us. Everything's free. We'd love to talk about equity and access all the time. A free program from CMOHS, free access. That's what we're talking about, and it's damn good. Everybody, thanks for listening, and have a good day.